If you have your Bibles with you, or whatever way you want to follow, we're looking at Isaiah 43. I was tempted to read the whole chapter, but I have been good, and I've cut it down to verses 14 to 25. But I would encourage you to read the whole chapter. It doesn't take long, and there's so much in it. That could bless each of us individually, whatever our circumstances happen to be. So Isaiah chapter 43, and my copy of the Word has the Lord's promise of victory, which is always encouraging. Let's pray together before we read. Father, we love you, we adore you, we thank you, Lord, for your presence amongst us. We thank you, Lord, for those that have led us to this point. And we pray that as we enjoy what you have to say, that you will open our eyes and our hearts and our wills to act upon what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships that they're so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland, so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. But, dear family of Jacob, you refuse to ask for my help. You have grown tired of me, O Israel. And then we move on to verse 25. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. Amen. It's very strange sometimes, but there are moments in our lives as the Lord's people when God will say something to us. And it doesn't matter how often we try to shake that, but it always comes back. Have you ever been in that place where it doesn't matter how hard you can be or how stuck in your way or how much something is said to you that takes you out of your comfort zone, somebody will always remind you of it again and again and again. And unfortunately, this happened to me with this chapter of Scripture. I'm always amazed how quickly a year passes by, and somebody said to me, that's just because you're getting old. So if you feel quite young and you think the year's starting to pass you by too quickly, it's because you're getting older. That's the bad news. The good news is, it doesn't matter how quickly we can go through the year, but we can go through it with Jesus. That's the good news. I was reading a book recently, and in this book it reminds you of what has happened in the past of the church. And I was thinking about the fact this is 2018, and 100 years ago exactly, the Lord blessed the world by sending two men, and they were born in 1918. One of them was called Oral Roberts, who became a famous preacher in America, and the other one, you'll all know, was named William Franklin Graham, Billy Graham. And he's 100 this year if the Lord spares him. Isn't that amazing? Now, those two men were used in amazing ways to introduce Jesus to millions of people. It only took two. But wouldn't it be amazing if the Lord could even use one of us in such a way in Scotland? What a glorious thought. 200 years ago, 1818, the Wesleyan Methodist Missionary Society in London began, and there was a flurry of activity in missionary work being sent out to Africa and Asia through that. Another fact, 500 years ago, Christianity was officially introduced to Ceylon. And then we remember, as we go further back in time, great things that our God has done, and he continues to do even today. What does 2018 have for me, for each of us, for Kerry Muir, Forfar, Arbroath, Brechin, Angus, even as we would look at Scotland? What does 2018 hold in store? We don't know, but God does. He already has it mapped out. He wants us to be willing, but. And I want to share just a couple of thoughts with you. There's a lot of things in this chapter. I'm sure you'll find millions, literally, as you go through it. But I just want to share four with you. And I want to share them in the way it came to me. I don't want to go through a rhyming thing or anything like that. But just as they came to me, because they're quite personal. And because they are so plain and so simple, I feel that any of us could relate to this. And the Lord laid this in my heart even before Pastor asked me to share this morning. So even the worship, everything has just dovetailed in. So God must have something to say through it. So if you have your Bibles open and you're looking at it, I'm just going to pinpoint the scripture. I don't want to add much to it because God's word speaks for itself. The Lord will speak to us himself. And the first thing God said to me was this: remember who I am. Remember who I am. And we can see that very clearly in verses 14 and 15. What does the Lord describe himself as? Redeemer, Holy One, Creator, and King. Isn't that a wonderful way to know our God? Redeemer, Holy One, Creator, and King. Now, of course, this is in Isaiah, and a lot of people say, well, it just applies to Israel. And if we're honest, we have to remember prophecy is about the present and the future, that which is to come. The present was for the people of Israel, and the future is for God's people in the future. That's us. Those who love Jesus. So we need to understand the nature of God hasn't changed. Our God is faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word, again from Hebrews. So let us remember him as Redeemer. What happened when we think of it? Well, maybe some of you have had the opportunity to read the book of Job, the man who suffered greatly. And what does he say near the end of it? I know that my Redeemer lives. Even through all his troubles, all his trials, he knew that his God was still there to save him. We've remembered it at the table this morning, and Rob spoke so clearly that our light has to shine, but there's so much to deal with. How do we deal with it? We know our Redeemer lives. He is alive today. He is more than able to deal with any questions, any challenges that we would have in our life. Someone said to me a long time ago, this is from my past, never admit your faults. It's a sign of weakness. I bore that for a long time because I didn't want to show that I was weak. Do you know, God just wants us to tell him that we have issues. He doesn't want us to brandish him about to make us feel good or popular. He just wants us to come to him, as Jim was sharing, as Pastor mentioned, to find that place of rest, just us and our God, and say, this is my problem. I need your help. I need your strength, your support. And he is more than able to do exceeding abundantly, the scripture says, above all that we could ask or think. This is the nature of our God. He redeems us. He buys us back. We can look very, just prior to verse 14, verse 11. I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 12, first I predicted your rescue, then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. He is our Redeemer. He has saved us. But it's not just that he's the Redeemer, but also he's the Holy One. Let me jump quickly to that one. Remember, God is pure and perfect. And even as Rob shared that out so clearly, even the littlest sin we commit stops us from having that relationship, that friendship with a holy God. He's so pure. He's so perfect. He's so amazingly wonderful. Remember when Jesus hung upon that cross, what did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? Even his own father couldn't look on the son he loved because Jesus bore my sins and each of our sins. He loves us so much. He even made sure that he could look upon us by allowing Jesus to die for us. What a wonderful God we have. Yes, he is holy. He is pure, he is perfect, but he's not so distant that we can't reach out to him. He wants us to reach because he's met us halfway. He loves us so much. Creator. This is one of those sticking points with a lot of people, that God made the world. This has been an argument in society for 150 plus years. And how amazing it is that here in the Word of God, where there is no lies, where there is no untruth, falsehood, or any mistake that way, it says that I am the Creator. He is the one who has made us. We're amazingly made. There are a number of people here who work in the health service, I'm sure they could stand here and they could tell you about the amazing things of the human body and how it works. We have an amazing God who made us. The first five words of the Bible are so amazing. In the beginning, God created. What a wonderful phrase. It just undermines the whole idea this world has that we came about by chance. No, we didn't come about by chance. We came about through the design of the living God. We are wonderfully made. We are precious jewels in the kingdom. And also we have to remember Jesus himself, the one that we believe saved us and continues to save us, he says that he is the Creator too. We even can look at John chapter 1 and we read that Jesus was there in the beginning, that he was the whole creative power behind creation. The one we adore, the one we love, the one who makes our salvation possible is the one who made us. Isn't that great? He died for us. Even though he made us, Jesus is altogether lovely. And the final one in this is, he's our king. Or is he? For 2018, I believe, for me, this is something I need to get down. Jesus needs to be my king. He needs to be our king. If we want great things to happen, Jesus needs to be everything for us. What does it say in verse 15? I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. right at the very end, he's saving the best to last. King. God has to be completely in charge. We could spend a lot of time on this because there's a lot of information, but I'm not going to. That can be your homework. There you go. Judges chapter 21, verse 25. I could just race you straight ahead to that. Israel was having such a bad time, wanting their own way. They had rejected God. And we read this, the very last verse in the book. With no king, everyone did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. And we see the world today. Everybody doing what they want because they believe it's right. And it's a mess. Praise God, we have a king. A king who leads us, who guides us, who encourages us. Sometimes I feel he gets behind and pushes us because we're so stubborn. But he loves us so much. And this king has already won the victory, but he wants to share it with us. I think that's wonderful. My God loves me so much, he wants to share his victory with me. We have a great king. So that's the first thing that was said to me. Remember who I am. But he also said this to me. Remember what I've done. And we've been praising God all morning about this. We've been remembering everything he's done for us. It's easy, isn't it? Verse 13. I'm not an emotional person, but it really hit me. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. Our salvation is real. Nobody can take Calvary from us. Nobody can take the resurrection from us. What God has done is done. And we need to remember that. We need to remember how important it is that he has made the difference in my life and yours. If we love Jesus this morning, if we have made that decision to say, yes, this is real. Yes, I have made mistakes. I have sinned. Yes, I need to deal with it. Yes, I need Jesus. That's what Alpha's all about, isn't it? I need Jesus. That's what the Lord's table is all about. Yes, I've sinned. I need Jesus. That's what our praise is all about. Yes, I know what you've done, and I need you, and I love you. Remember what I've done. The last service, I believe, was a testimony service. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but if we love the Lord this morning, we all have testimonies. We all should have something to say about Jesus. We might think he hasn't done a lot in our lives. Think of where we've come from. Think of who we are, our failings, our issues, our questions. He is everything to us. We all have a testimony that we should be able to give like that. I love Jesus. That's a testimony. Simple as that. Three words. I love Jesus. Verse 2. Again, another verse. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burnt up. The flames will not consume you. He's there with us all the time. We may not see it. We may not feel that he's there, but he is there. And he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. A dog walks into a butcher's shop. Just picture it in your mind for a moment. A dog walks into a butcher's shop, and the butcher speaks to it and says, "What do you want?" And the dog lifts his right paw up and he points to the steak. And the butcher says, "How many pounds do you want?" And the dog barks twice. So the butcher gets that, the old butcher paper, the white paper, and he gets the 2 pounds of steak and he weighs it on the scale and he has it wrapped up. And he turns to the dog and he said, "Is there anything else you want?" And the dog again lifts his right paw and he points to the pork chops. "How many do you want?" And the dog barks 4 times. So again, the butcher does the same thing and he wraps the steak and the pork chops up. And he said, "Is there anything else you want?" And you can just picture this dog. And apparently it was meant to be a bulldog. And he just shakes his head. I'm not going to do it. But he shakes his head and you can know the sort of thing it does. And the butcher lifts the stuff and he opens the bag that the dog has hanging in its mouth. And he puts the meat in and he closes it up. And then around the dog's collar, there's a little purse. So he opens the purse up and he takes the money out and he closes it and he sees the dog out the door. And apparently there is a customer behind the dog and he forgets why he's there after watching this. And he follows the dog out the door, down the street, round the corner, across the road, and the dog goes up to this house and knocks on the door. Door opens up and the dog trots in. And the owner of the dog standing at the door. And the man races over and he says, "That's an amazing dog you have. Absolutely remarkable." And the owner shakes his head and he says, "Remarkable? That's the second time he's forgot his front door key." And sometimes we get so caught up with the negative things that we forget the great positives that God is doing. Isn't that right? We forget that He does so much. So many amazing things that we never thought were possible. But God does them. And He does them, and sometimes we don't even thank Him. Remember what I'm doing for you. Remember what I've done. And then the third thing, if you're looking at it very quickly, trust me to continue working for and through you. That was the next thing he said to me. Trust me to remember what I'm still doing. And it took me a little while on that one because I can be a little stuck in my ways. And I've been told that's because I'm Irish, that I can be stuck in my ways. But no. We all can go through that, can't we? We can get a little bit ground down with the things that we're doing and what we have to remember. And God's word is very clear because we read this. "But forgetting all that, it is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new." And this is where God got me. "See, I've already begun. Do you not see it?" God's working behind the scenes at things that we can't even imagine. And it's not that He's got it planned out in June or July this year or 2019 or whatever. No, He's already started. He's already started now. Are we ready for it? Are we ready for what God is going to do? Are we ready for the challenges that lie ahead? 1 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, all things become new." There's a newness with God. God doesn't want us to stay stuck in our ways. He doesn't want us to think that we feel good in our comfort zone. No, He wants us literally to be ready for action. A friend of mine was an officer in the Salvation Army, and they used to get what they called RFOs. And RFOs came round every January. What was it? I couldn't understand. What was an RFO? It was ready for orders. And every January, they got these RFOs, these ready for orders, and it was what they had to do that year within the citadel that they worked in. And the amazing thing was their RFOs were numbered 1, 2, 3, 4. They had a list. But it wasn't a list of things like, you must have X amount of people, you must do this. No. Every numbered order was scripture. And you had to follow these scriptures. And they were given orders in scripture. It was God's word they were given. I thought that was amazing. When so often we're given the idea we have to think about numbers, we have to think about what we're going to do, we have to think what the fellowship will do, what's going to happen, how much resources we have to pour into this, how much we have to put into that, when really it's not how I'm going to win someone or we're going to win someone to Jesus. We've got an even better job. We don't win people because the price has already been paid. We just introduce people to Jesus because he's the one who will win them. He's the one who saves. He's the one who changes lives. He's the one who transforms us. He's the one who makes us new. One of the amazing things that's been happening this year as we've been going along for the last, I would say, month or so, at the beginning of December, and it didn't register with me until God gave me this scripture, is we've been looking at the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is something that we can just breeze over as a nice little phrase without realizing how important it is. Because Jesus said the kingdom of God is here and now. It's not just something amazing to come, it's also with us here and now. And perhaps, as Pastor was sharing, but our prayer for 2018 should be this: Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right now. We're not going to wait any longer. This world isn't going to have its way any longer. We need your kingdom now, right here. We need a God incident. We need something to happen here that people won't say, oh, they're nice people. They meet on a Sunday and they sing nice songs and they're all very friendly and they're very welcoming. No, we need people to realize this is a place where answers are met. This is a place where lives are changed, not just to make us seem different, but to make us better because God's in our life. What are we expecting for 2018? Well, Martin Luther made this note in his journal. I've held many things in my hands and I've lost them all, but whatever I placed in God's hands, that I still possess. For 2018, what have we placed in God's hands? What have we given to him? What have we almost permitted him to have instead of, as our king, just submitting everything to him? When we were over in Northern Ireland, I don't know about yourselves, but I heard the news that another Coptic church had been destroyed. And it wasn't just a building. The people were inside worshiping at the time, and they closed the doors and they set the building on fire from the outside while the people were still inside. And this was on a secular news channel, they mentioned this. And as this reporter was going through this item of news, he said, people outside heard them singing. They gave their all for their king. And their testimony was recorded, even by a secular news agency. That broke my heart when I heard it. So what are we expecting? How far are we willing to go for our God? This is the last thing I really want to quickly share with you. God said this, I am faithful even when you're not. I'm faithful even when you're not. Verse 25, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake. He doesn't save us for us. He saves us because he wants to be with us. That's beautiful. And I will never think of them again. Let us review the situation together. We need to remember it. We need to remember that he is faithful, even when we are not. One of the amazing books that I have read is one called, some of you have read this one, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. And of course, it's based on that passage where Jesus is walking on the water and he calls Peter to him. And when Peter takes his eyes off Jesus, he begins to sink. And what's special about it? Jesus reaches down and pulls him up. Are we like that at the minute? We're going through a difficult time. Our faith is wavering. We've all been there. But Jesus can reach down and pull us up. He just wants to make that difference. He just wants to be the one to pull us up. Things happen with God that don't happen any other way. I know that, you know that. If we love Jesus, we know God is faithful. But if he is faithful and we are faithful, what's going to happen this year? Maybe if we allow our minds to run riot, because all things are possible with God, this building's going to be too small. And it's going to be too small, not because we've got all these special activities, but because we can't stop people coming to meet with God. The house of God is open to everyone. Maybe it's going to be because at every service people are going to get saved. Can you remember when that used to happen? People getting saved at every service. It's glorious, isn't it? It can be that way again if we're faithful with our faithful God. When was the last time we saw a real healing? The supernatural. It's God natural. It's not supernatural. It's God natural. That's when he does things. Word of testimony. I had the privilege to meet an elderly pastor. He was blind. He'd come out of retirement twice, and he was still preaching. He preached the day before the day before he died. Amazing. He was my pastor when I was a teenager, and the first time that he preached in the church, he didn't go and shake people's hands. He went into the back room and cried. I've never, ever before heard of a blind person crying. This man cried his heart out. Why? Nobody got saved. Maybe we should be like that. We want to see this place so full we can't contain it. We want to see people saved like it's commonplace. We want to see people saying, please pray for me. And we pray for them, and like that, the Lord heals them. Not because of who they are or because of who we are, but because of the Lord we love and serve. Perhaps it's going to be great things happening because our great God is faithful. Look at Isaiah 43. Let the Lord bless you. Scripture is amazing. He's going to do amazing things for us as we are faithful to him. Amen.